Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One student killed, one injured in high school shooting near Dallas. Dentist arrested in heinous, complex, and calculated poisoning death of his wife. Two Illinois teens on spring break killed in sledding accident at Colorado's Copper Mountain. These are three actual headlines, all from the same day this past week. We seem to hear about death in the news every day. And when you do hear news like this, how do you feel? Maybe you feel a little twitch of sadness, but if we're honest, we probably don't feel anything. Right? Death doesn't faze us. We're so used to it. It's just common to hear about it. Sometimes it's said that people are afraid of death, but you know, I don't think that's really true. We're not afraid of death. If we were, then we would be terrified every time we hear a headline about someone dying. We would collapse into despair every time we see somebody in a TV show get killed in front of our eyes. We would be in agony every time we read some murder mystery book. No, I don't think we're scared of death. Instead, what we're really scared of is grief. We're afraid when death is personal. Right, typically when we think of death, it's in the abstract. We think of it happening somewhere else to somebody else, like to high school students near Dallas, or some dentist's wife in Colorado, or two teenagers in a mountain range. Those deaths aren't anything for us to be afraid of. But when death isn't abstract anymore, when it happens in your life, then there's an added element involved, and it's grief. I once heard someone say that grief is the last way of saying that you love someone. In other words, you don't grieve over people you don't love. And yet many times we are afraid of grief. It makes us feel vulnerable and powerless. Consider how our first reaction when dealing with grief is denial. No, that can't be. That's not true. The bad news just feels like a weird, strange dream, and you're just waiting to wake up from it. We're afraid of what it could mean if it were true. Denial is our mind's way of saying we can't handle all of this. We don't want to deal with all of this. We're too scared of it all. This is why many people are reluctant about seeing loved ones as they're dying. They want to remember people as they were, happy and alive, not suffering and dying. This is why many people are uncomfortable going into care facilities or funeral homes or cemeteries until they are forced to do so. It's not because we're afraid of death. It's because we're afraid of grieving. We're afraid of when death isn't abstract anymore. But we can't avoid it. That doesn't mean we don't try to avoid it. Right? Think about how other people respond to you after you've had to deal with the death of a loved one. I've become convinced just by watching people that most of us can't deal with another person's grief for about more than a week. And that week is just about long enough to hear the news that the person died, to attend the funeral, and to bring a casserole to your friend. And that's about it. After that, they want to move on. Because that grief is too much for them. And because the grief didn't happen to them personally. As a teacher of mine once said, there is something about the suffering of your best friend that doesn't bother you. That's because their suffering isn't happening to you. This is why, if you're the one going through the loss, it seems like other people are telling you to, quote, get over it or move on with your life, because that's exactly what they did. They aren't dealing with the grief personally, so they can indeed move on from it after about a week or so. But you can't. Your life is the one that's been turned around. You will no longer be able to call that person on a regular basis like you once did. You will have that empty seat at the dinner table at your house. You will have that empty spot next to you in bed. You have to deal with all this. And most of us can't stand it. So if we're not personally involved, then we try to get rid of it as quickly as possible. But when you're the one grieving, when it's your life that's been changed by death, then you can't avoid it. And it's terrifying. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, couldn't avoid it either. And we hear about their grief in today's gospel reading. Now, this reading is a famous one, but I think it's famous for the wrong reason. Most people know this story for the final scene when Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. Because honestly, that's not something we see every day. So that part definitely catches our attention. But look at the story again. The raising of Lazarus takes only 2 verses. So this story is not really about Lazarus or his raising. It's really about Jesus being with Mary and Martha in their grief. And I think that's why this story should be famous. Because Jesus is there with them. Right, we can't relate to seeing a loved one come back from the dead. But we can relate to grieving after our loved ones died. So let's look at how this story here actually plays out. As Lazarus is sick and dying, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus about his condition. Jesus then drops what he's doing and heads out to see Lazarus right away. Oh, wait a minute. No, he doesn't. That's not what the text says at all. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. What? Why wouldn't Jesus rush out to help? If we hear that a loved one's dying, chances are pretty good that we would drop what we're doing and go, right? We would cancel appointments. We would rearrange our schedule. We would buy last-minute plane tickets if we have to. Yes, our grief scares us, and we might not want to see our loved one like this, but hopefully we would still go. But Jesus didn't. So that means when he finally does arrive, both of the sisters each say to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They blame Jesus for what happened. They think he's too late to do anything about it now. And we can relate to that. How many times have we blamed him for when something horrible happens in our world? If you had been here, then that accident wouldn't have happened. If you had been here, then that cancer wouldn't have spread. If you had been here, then that heart attack wouldn't have occurred. Whatever it was. In our grief, we often blame Jesus for not doing anything to stop it. Sometimes we wonder, if God is all loving and all powerful, why is there still suffering in the world? Some theologians call that the question of theodicy. The relationship between God and suffering. The rest of us simply call it being pissed at God. It's part of the grieving process known as anger. Mary and Martha were angry at Jesus, and rightly so. They wonder why he didn't come right away. They think that death is final and not even Jesus can do anything about it. But then, Jesus says something very important to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Notice that he did not ask, did Lazarus believe this? He didn't ask, did Lazarus accept me as his personal Lord and Savior? If so, then I'll bring him back to life. If not, then sorry. He'll burn in hell for all eternity. No, that's not what he said. Instead, he looked at Martha and asked her, do you, Martha, believe this? Jesus isn't worried about Lazarus. Not because there isn't anything he can do, but rather because Lazarus is already in his care. Right? That's why he didn't rush out there right away. I mean, even death can't stop Jesus from loving someone or giving them new life. Those who are dead are already with him. He's already got a hold of them. It's those who are living and grieving, like Mary and Martha and us, who need to be reminded that Jesus still holds them too. Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Notice something here, though. Even with this confession of faith, Martha still grieves for her brother. Even with your confession of faith in Jesus, you still grieve for your loved ones, too. Faith does not make grief go away. It is okay to grieve. Instead, faith is trusting that Jesus is stronger than death. And that even in your grief, he can still bring both you and your deceased loved one to new life. Yes, Jesus did call Lazarus out of the grave. Yes, he did restore him to his sisters. Yes, he did bring Lazarus back into his community. But eventually, Lazarus died again. And that time he did not come out of the grave. So did this scene here in John chapter 11 not mean anything? Did it just buy Lazarus some time? Did it do any good at all? Well, of course it did. Because Mary and Martha had to go through their grief for their brother. And I imagine it scared them. They got angry at Jesus. They cried. And yet Jesus was with them in the midst of it. And he remained stronger than grief and death. He gave new life to Lazarus, and he gave new life to them too. This means when you are going through grief, because indeed it is something you go through, not get over, when you are going through grief, Jesus is stronger than anything you face too. Yes, you might get angry at him or blame him. You might cry. You might feel like your world has fallen apart. But Jesus still has your loved one in his care. And he still has you in his care too. Even when others leave you after about a week, Jesus stays with you. He promises you that he is the resurrection and the life. We might be afraid of grief, but Jesus is not. He was the strength that Mary and Martha needed to walk through their grief. And he is that same strength for you too. He is the resurrection and the life for those who are dead and those who are living and grieving like you. So although death and grief are real, Jesus is real too. And because of him, death never has the last word. Instead, he does. How's that for a headline? In the name of the one who is stronger than death and grief, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.